The pageant is new each time. Well, my first lesson, my first homily with you this morning is building on this idea of parenthood as a spiritual practice. The idea that compassion, which we're focusing on this morning, is something that we learn a lot of, those of us who have been parents. That we need inspirations, all of us, in many forms for compassion. We need people, places, and rituals that open us up, that bring smiles to our faces, and bring to us the impulse to reach out. So parenthood isn't unique in being a source of that feeling, but it is the one that the Christmas story reminds us of, and the one that I'm most personally connected to these days. Caring for children, for someone innocent and in need of care, for health and well-being, for nurture and growth, changes anyone who undertakes it. It is, in a profound way, decentering. You are no longer first when you become a parent. You have to move your ego to the side. You have to look at what is most valuable being found in connection, who we love and how we love, not what we want. Parenthood, of course, is remarkable in lots of ways. It makes me realize how much I care and love and how much I'm capable of, perhaps to a degree that I'm seldom otherwise aware of. It also makes me painfully aware of my shortcomings. Can I get an amen from the parents out there? The ways in which I can be unreasonable or stingy, short-sighted and rigid. The birth of Demetrius was, of course, a vulnerable experience. I have never more identified with the quotation from Elizabeth Stone, perhaps you've heard this one, making the decision to have a child is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. The risk of loving him and being present to the uncertainty around his health reminded me that compassion is about the care others evoke from us, sometimes even demand from us. Think about for a moment the word compassion itself. The root of the word compassion is Latin in origin. It means literally co-suffering or to suffer with. But I like to think of compassion in a broader way than that. Not to suffer with, but to share with, to co-share life. Compassion is more than empathy. It's a way of seeing the world and seeing other people that sees our common humanness as paramount. We all hurt. We all cry. We all love. We all lose. We all share in the triumphs and the challenges of being alive. So may we remember that this holiday season and in every season of our lives.
But why did that king have a beaker?
Anyway, what about kings? What does that have to do with anything in our lives?
Well, I think the kings are an interesting case, aren't they? We sometimes forget about the three kings. They can perhaps seem a little bit like bit players in this drama of the Christmas story, like mere backdrop to the central story of our nativity creche. And yet these three travelers who follow a star to pay homage to a new life, which they believe the prophecy has foretold them will be a life of greatness, they show me once again how such faith and such trust and such hope can be profound motivators. Our kings this morning reminded us that inspiration and compassion can take many forms in our Unitarian Universalist tradition. We can find inspiration and compassion in the sciences, That's why the one king had a beaker. We can find inspiration and compassion in the Buddhist tradition, which is why one of the kings had a lotus-shaped bowl. And our last king had symbols of the Hindu tradition, seed and ash and om. We can find inspiration and compassion in so many places. And the kings remind us that in song and story, we are told again and again of the value of bringing gifts. We're told specifically about the kings in the nativity story about the frankincense and the gold and the myrrh and how exciting those three things are. The value of precious metal and gems. I like to think, however, that the most vital and valuable gift that those kings brought was themselves. The manger would have been a much lonelier and insular place without the kings. Sure, the heavenly host and angels show up as well, but the kings are the only human beings outside of Jesus' immediate family that are there in the manger scene. It's as if to be their presence says, we believe this powerful story we've been told. Like the kings, my friends, our presence matters too. It matters when we show up, when we travel across town or across the block, whether we travel over internet via Skype, as we do with our families regularly, to be present. It matters when we hold out our hands with a lotus, with a discovery, with an open heart. Our presence is the most precious and most unique gift that we can offer. A gift that we can give anytime and anywhere to those we love and to those we have only just met. Imagine how Mary and Joseph might have felt when those kings showed up. Can you imagine being in the manger surrounded by animals out there, no room for you in the inn, and all of a sudden these three people show up with gifts? Mary and Joseph might have thought, I like to think, who are these guys? And then I can imagine them thinking after that kind of incredulousness, thinking, you know, whoever they are, what matters is that they're here. Bless them, these three strangers, for being here. So that's my prayer for us this holiday season, that we might offer our full and open presence to the holy nights of our lives. That we might, in our own way, find that when we offer our presence on the holy nights, that nearly every moment of our living has in it a kernel of holiness. May that be true this holiday season for each of you. And amen.